This is Ed McMahon. It's That's Life with Mark Snyder. And now on WMSX, ladies and gentlemen, here's Mark.
In the mid-60s, when I was a teenager, I remember going over to my friend Jeff Cohen's house in Randolph. We'd all get out and play Pet Sounds, the seminal album by the Beach Boys. Jeff would play the drums, and we would all sing. And of course, I would try to reach those notes and have hernias and ruptures on a regular basis. And I just love the Beach Boys. Of course, their music is great music, but it even brings you great memories because of the nostalgia effect of it. Pet Sounds, one of the greatest albums ever released, was recently re-released by Capitol Records in a four-disc box set celebrating the 30th anniversary of the landmark album. And, of course, the Beach Boys still tour. They've had some losses, and but they still go on. And one of the reasons is the man behind the voice, the lead singer of the group, and an enduring name in rock and roll, Mike Love. He joins us live right now. Hi, Mike.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing great, and you?
Good. I'm just nursing my hernias here.
Have you always been able to sing those notes like that?
No, I actually, I sing the lead on like a lot of songs, California Girls and I Get Around and Surfing USA and stuff like that. Those leads are kind of at the top of my range, but in the vocal harmonies that we do, I sing the bass part.
Ah.
I'm in no real danger of splitting anything.
Who was the one that was usually singing the real, real high parts?
Well, my cousin Brian.
Yeah.
Brian Wilson sang the very high parts in on the original recordings.
Yeah.
In fact, Bruce Johnston joined the group in 1965 to take Brian's place when he decided to retire from touring and concentrate on music, which gave birth, actually, to the Pet Sounds album. The reason the Pet Sounds album, evolved is because Brian focused 100% of his energies on music, and he didn't have to divide it between the road and the studio.
Yeah. That was an incredible album. You look at it now, we're in the 90s, almost at the millennium of 2000, and this thing stands up like a new recording.
Yeah, there are amazing arrangements on it. They're great tracks. Brian used a lot of groupings of otherwise known as symphonic instrumentation. You know, with strings, horns, woodwinds, timpanis, everything you could imagine, and it was beautifully done. It was quite amazing to hear in the studio. It was hard to do because he was such a taskmaster. And during those days, he had a certain sound in his head, and he really put us through our paces. It was quite a challenge, but as a result, you can't hear a flat or a sharp note in any of those songs from the Pet Sounds album.
I just can't believe how fresh it still sounds years and years later. When you folks get together, tell us a little bit about the beginnings of the group. Obviously, you mentioned that Brian and Dennis and Kyle, obviously, were all your cousins. How did the whole thing start?
Well, actually, you know, it started, I guess, it's just family get-togethers originally. Brian, Dennis, and Carl would come over to my house quite often. My mom is very much into music. She sang in a trio when she was in high school, and my Uncle Murray was very much into music, and Audrey, the Wilson's mother, was a piano teacher. I mean, so there's music all around, in and out of all sides of the family. So we'd get together for like Christmas caroling and recitals and just plain, you know, musical get-togethers where the kids would peel off and do their thing with the R&B records and the rock and roll of the time, the Everly Brothers and Chuck Berry, and a lot of the R&B songs were a big influence on us, and we loved singing the doo-wop harmonies. So that sort of got us started, and then a little later on, you know, Brian and Dennis and Carl lived across the street from David Marks, who actually signed the Capitol Records recording agreement with us in 1962 when he was 14 years old. And I guess Carl was 15, and I was the old man. I just turned 21. So that's between the family thing and the neighborhood thing, that's how it really got started. And David Marks, you know, unfortunately, Carl Wilson, my cousin, who was the youngest of the Wilson brothers, passed away last year, about a year almost to this day, actually. Last February, Carl passed away, and I called David Marks when Carl got too sick to perform, and asked him if he'd come back and play the leads, because he plays the lead guitar parts so authentically, because he's an original guy, you know. Mm. So he's back with the group now,
So he's on the current tour with you.
Oh yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, after a 35-year hiatus.
You know, you mentioned Carl, and of course, before him, Dennis passing away. You know, many people who followed the Beach Boys were always worried about the health of Brian. He seemed the one that would have a problem with his health. But the other two ended up passing away before him.
Yeah, it's ironic. Brian was the most prone to excesses, you know, of whether it be eating, drinking, or, you know, non-prescribed drugs. He's had a share of all that, and we've been worried about him at times, but right now he's in good shape. He's remarried, and his wife and he live in a really nice, actually have two homes, one in the Midwest and one in Beverly Hills.
Mm-hmm.
He's living in a much more, you know, healthy setting nowadays. And they've adopted two little girls. So I think, you know, he was up at my house on Thanksgiving, Brian was, and his wife, Melinda, and their two children. And, you know, he's looking forward to doing some more recording. In fact, he even talked about getting together with me and doing a project. So I'm looking forward to that. I think he has one more recording to do with the fellas who produced the Imagination album with his, and then we'll be off and running.
It's interesting that his daughters are very talented, his older daughters, in terms of music.
Yeah, Wilson Phillips did fantastic. It's just too bad they broke up. I think they had a great sound together.
They really did. In fact, you know, they really emulated the Beach Boys and the Mamas and Papas with the great orchestrations and harmonies that they had.
Correct. I really like their music and the way they sounded and everything. Unfortunately, those things happen. It's kind of weird, though, you know, like, they did, one album or so?
Two albums,
yeah. That's right. They broke up after their second.
Yeah.
And then the old man, Brian, has been involved with the Beach Boys all his life.
Yeah, it's amazing to me. I mean, we were talking earlier. I mean, you know, England had the Beatles, and to a lesser extent, the Rolling Stones. America had the Beach Boys. Is it really a responsibility to be part of a band that has become an icon for music in your country?
Well, I don't think we approached it that way. It was just in the 60s, there was a lively competition between the Beatles and the Beach Boys for a couple of years there. And I think the competition was good. It certainly spurred Brian on to greater creative endeavors and as well the Beatles. But I don't think we looked at it as a responsibility so much. We're just young guys making music and putting into words and sound some of the feelings and experiences we had. So I don't think we looked at it that way. But the philosophy of the Beach Boys has always been to accentuate the positive, and I think that's, Brian has tended to be very melancholy at times, but I've always tried to counterbalance that with positivity, and trying to accentuate the positive as much as I could. And so that showed up in the lyrical influence, I think, and the conceptual themes of what we sang about. So I think over time, just keeping that positive approach, and, good vibrations and fun, and kind of type thing, it's inured to the longevity of the group. And then what with the longevity, people tend to, give you the credit for doing something lasting. And we and the Beatles and the Supremes are actually the top three groups in oldies radio. So out of all the people that recorded in the 50s and the 60s, that's a pretty nice achievement. And I'm very fortunate, we're all very fortunate in the group to have been, received so well by people that were in the top of our time period for recognition.
One of the things I thought was just incredible was the quote that George Martin had. Of course, George was the producer of the Beatles. He said, without Pet Sounds, Sgt. Pepper's never would have happened. Pepper was an attempt to equal Pet Sounds.
Yeah. There's nobody more clever, I don't think, than Paul McCartney. I mean, Mick Jagger's pretty smart. I mean, he's taken basically a blues band and made trillions of dollars with it, which is, I'm sure Jerry Hall appreciates that. Anyway, it's true that McCartney is so clever and so talented, and of course Lennon was the philosopher of the group there, and so they're the combination of their talents really combined to do some unique and innovative avant-garde stuff at that point in time when Brian was burning up the studio.
One of the questions that came in from a listener, and I'll ask it to you, they wanted to know in an email, what was the relationship of the Beach Boys with Jan and Dean?
Well, Jan and Dean, Jan Barry was a record producer in L.A., and he started out with a guy named Arnie who got drafted, so he found Dean to take Arnie's place. And they were a local Southern California group that grew up in the same sort of culture that the Beach Boys grew up in, i.e. the West Coast surfers. And they specialized in a type of music that was very close to the Beach Boys, not quite as developed in the harmony sense, but Jan was very, very into the studio. He was actually a pretty darn good record producer, and of course Dean and I have become pretty close friends over the years. We've even done a couple of projects together, some touring together. He'll come out and come on stage with us and stuff like that. But we're just, a couple of groups from Southern California from that same era that, they had Surf City when we had Surf in the USA. So by the fact that they were successful and number one record was Surf City, I think it made it more of a West Coast sound kind of a thing. That we, instead of just the Beach Boys by themselves, there was another group, Jan and Dean, who came along and had some great recordings that time. Unfortunately, Jan crashed in a really bad car accident back in the 60s and never quite fully recovered all his, physical abilities and handicapped him to a great degree. Never got back in the race.
When Dean Torrance was on the show here, he actually said to me that he thought that if Jan never got hurt, that Jan and Dean would have endured just as well or even more than the Beach Boys.
Well, yeah, that's a possibility. You know, he had a lot of drive and a lot of intelligence, and it's just a tragic thing that happened.
Can you think back of the early 60s when you got this all together? Did you ever even dream of the success that you had? I mean, most people dream of success, but did you ever dream that in the year almost 2000 you'd still be sitting here talking on the radio, touring and selling out venues all over the country?
No, never anticipated that. All we knew when we started out was that we loved to sing together, make harmony. You know, we always preferred the, like I said, the doo-wop songs and the harmony. We'd take an Everly Brothers song, which is two-part harmony, and we'd make it three and four parts. And, you know, it's just something we did as a hobby, did for the love of it, and it turned into a profession. And fortunately, we had enough records and affected enough people in a positive way to where we have a following. To this day, it's actually gotten broader demographically. In other words, the people we started out singing to and for were like in the 60s, maybe 20 years old, maybe 15 years old, or so on like that. Well, it's you know, 35 years later,
right?
We're singing to their kids, and some of the children are enjoying the Beach Boys. You know, it's a phenomenon. It really is. It's a great phenomenon because it provided us a wonderful way of life and profession that's evolved out of what was just a love or a hobby.
Well, it's interesting because I've been to Beach Boys concerts six times in my life, and you actually see three generations there, because you see kids like me who are now in their 40s, their parents, and their children.
Right.
So it's crossing over, and of course the VH1 and all the things that are playing the Beach Boys music, all the oldie stations, keep it alive for all these young generations. So there's a whole new group of people out there, a whole new set of record buyers.
There sure are. And, you know, we owe a great debt of gratitude to those stations that play our music. And the one thing about the 60s, the Beatles, the Beach Boys, Motown, and several other, you know, musical entities, it's such a rich period musically. I mean, you were dealing with a new musical formula called rock and roll, and with some blues influences, some rockabilly influences, some you know, church harmony type influences. So, you know, you had a new palette in which people started painting, and lots of groups did some great, great songs, and those are the songs that are played on all these radio. I mean, sometimes you get a trend of music or something becomes kind of lined out because, you know, it sounds too much the same after a while. But with the 60s and all the different confluences of types of music coming together, it made it for such a rich musical time, and I think that's why that format of radio is so popular to this day, even with younger people.
We're talking with Mike Love of the Beach Boys. Mike, we have to take a very quick break. When we come back, I want to talk to you a little bit about the music out right now, how it compares to when it was in the 60s, which I don't even think it does compare, but that we'll find out your opinion on it. And also, I want to talk about your upcoming tour and some of the places you're going to be, okay?
All right.
We'll be back with more of Mike Love and the Beach Boys right after this.
We turned on this blue John B. My grandfather and me. Around that town we did roam, drinking all night. Got into a fight. Well, I feel so broke up. I wanna go. John D. Sale.
that business is slow. The news is full of bankruptcies and failures. Business is not bad everywhere, though. Clients of Professional Marketing and Promotions Company are flying high. PMP clients include medical and dental offices, law practices, CPAs, and small businesses of all types. Professional Marketing and Promotions Company will design and implement an effective marketing plan, can book you for speaking engagements, radio and television appearances, and newspaper feature articles. PMP has dozens of satisfied clients in all of professional fields. Shouldn't you consider bringing more clients through the door with Professional Marketing and Promotions Company? For a free 30-minute marketing consultation, call 617-341-8332. That's 341-8332. PMP in Stoughton, part of the PMP Media Network. I'm Mark Snyder, Vice President of PMP. Call me at 341-8332 for a free marketing consultation. 341-8332. Big promotions for small business. That's PMP.
That's right, I'm the new Beach Boy. That's what do you think, Mike? Can I get a gig over there?
Yeah, what do you think?
Didn't you hear me singing in the background?
No,
I shouldn't give up my day job. Okay, yeah. I thought that my Beach Boys harmony was pretty good there. I don't know. I guess not. I was talking, of course, with Mike Love from the incredible Beach Boys. And, I'm one of these advocates for mid-60s to early 70s music. I've always thought that was the best music ever written and ever played and the whole deal. And people say, well, Marcus, maybe it's because your age, because you grew up around that time. But I'm wondering, is it me or is it you think that maybe that was the most fertile time for music?
I think so, and it's a time that influenced many groups to follow. And in fact, the Bare Naked Ladies did a song about Brian Wilson. Of course, they did one about Yoko Ono too.
Oh yes, yeah.
it just kind of shows, I want to stay in bed like Brian Wilson did. The Bare Naked Ladies are into that song, and
yeah,
there are always a lot of new groups come along. They're hot and they have some great songs, catchy songs and stuff, but so many of them refer back to the Beach Boys and the Beatles and a few other people from that time period in terms of their inspiration musically.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about all the groups that were around in the 60s, from the Grassroots to the Temptations to the Supremes to the Rascals. I mean, there's tons of them, and they're all really good. Besides the Beatles and the Kinks and the Rolling Stones and the Beach Boys, some of the people who were really huge at the time. But there was a lot of secondary people that were excellent too. Nowadays, at least from my point of view, there are some good groups out there, but not a plethora like there were in the 60s, where the top 40 was loaded with 40 incredibly strong acts, where now it doesn't seem that way to me.
Well, couple things happen is that the rap kind of thing is taking a pretty good piece of the pie in terms of the musical sales and the radio play and stuff, and
do you like
that is musical, but a lot of it is not musical. It's a thing, it's an event.
Exactly. Well,
but
yeah,
it's not really musical, so you've got a segment there that's not contributing anything musically, really. I mean, they may contribute record sales and they may relate to a pretty big audience, but you don't have as many people vying to create new things. Plus, rock and roll in the 60s was new and vital. I mean, it was, the first rock and roll people started in the mid-50s, the very early guys, and then so by the early 60s you had a tremendous amount of people emulating or at least taking the elements of rock and roll and configuring it to their own taste. And that's where you came up with the difference between the Beatles and the Rolling Stones and the Beach Boys and the Rascals. You know, one took more of an R&B direction, somebody else took a more pop direction, and gave birth to everything else. And after the Beach Boys and the Beatles and stuff in the mid-60s, gave rise to a ton of groups, all of which had some, you know, great records and great musical successes, but that it was because the medium of music, of rock and roll, was so new. I think that it gave a lot of fertile ground for imagination.
I'm talking about with Mike Love of the Beach Boys, and for all your information out there listening, Friday and Saturday night this week, the Beach Boys will be right in our neighborhood at Foxwoods. Have you played there before?
Never. It's their first time. We were scheduled to appear there several months ago, but didn't quite make it, so it was rescheduled, and now we're raring to go.
It's a wonderful place to play. It's a big auditorium with really nice acoustics, very comfortable seating, and I've seen Billy Ray Cyrus there and Donna Summer and some other acts, and it's a nice venue.
Cool. We're looking forward to it.
What else comes up after Foxwoods?
Well, we go out to California and do a couple of shows. We're doing a private show for the National Auto Dealers Association. Hey, so, you know, I'll do anything for a deal on a car, you know? And at the end of the month, we fly down to New Zealand. There, we have a couple of shows down there. We sold about 20,000 tickets to this one show. We're going to do two shows down in New Zealand the last couple of days of February, last weekend of February.
Wow.
And then March, we're back in the States. May, we're supposed to go to Japan and parts of Southeast Asia and Hawaii. So that's pretty cool. And in June, we have a lot of shows lined up for Europe, England, and the continent. So it's pretty neat.
You
have to see a little bit of the world. We went to Australia last December and did about 7 or 8 shows in Australia, and spent Christmas in Bali for something different to do.
Are you guys as popular worldwide as you are in the United States?
Well, yeah, I think so. Germany, for some strange reason, is a big record market for the Beach Boys. We even had a number one record a few years back, a compilation in Spain. We've had number one records all over Scandinavia, South Africa, Australia. I guess those are surfing countries. See?
Yeah, that's right.
And Philippines and all over the place. A little light in the Arab Emirates. don't go over too well there, but...
So hopefully you have a nice lucrative contract yourself here in this with Capital, and you're doing quite well.
Yeah, well, we can't complain, that's for sure.
Now, are you married or...
Yes, I'm married.
With children?
Yes, I have 2 young children. I have children that are older as well, from the 60s.
Yeah.
But my youngest is 3.
Wow.
A girl and a 10-year-old boy.
Oh, I have 2 young ones myself. It must be difficult going on the road.
I miss them. And although my son is homeschooled, and we take him all over with us. I mean, we're going to New Zealand together, so I try to take him along as much as I can.
That's kind of nice.
Yeah, it is.
I think that even you would say no matter how much success you have, nothing matters more than the family.
Well, that's true enough. I mean, and you know what's nice is that's exactly what Brian said when I called him to invite him up to Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, if you don't have anything better to do, you know, maybe want to come up and have Thanksgiving with us. And he says, well, I'd love to. Family first, Mike.
So he's doing well, though.
Yeah, he's doing fine. He's in good spirits. He's going to do about 4 shows, I think, in the Midwest. In March.
Mm-hmm.
And, then we're, after that, after he's done those, we're talking about getting together and doing some new music.
Yeah, I was going to say, anything at all that is being planned. Do you write a lot of the music yourself?
I've written a lot of songs.
Because I know you wrote that.
With Brian, particularly lyrics, but I come up with music too. I came up with the I'm Picking Up Good Vibrations part, you know. So, and I also wrote Kokomo with, along with Terry Melcher and John Phillips, Mamas and Papas.
And Terry Melcher, of course, is Doris Day's son, right?
Correct.
Yeah. You wrote Brian's Back, too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a cool song.
It's a sweet song. It's you know, a dedication to Brian. And, you know, it's one of my favorite songs that I've written because it's from the heart.
Yeah.
And it's never actually been released to, as a single or anything like that. But there's, you know, our actor friend John Stamos was Jesse on Full House.
Mm-hmm.
He's been in touch with the people at ABC and also CBS about doing, you know, they did a big mini-series on The Temptations a while back.
Right.
It was very successful. So they're interested in doing a mini-series on The Beach Boys. Which, well,
they did the two-hour Endless Harmony thing on VH1.
Right, but that was a documentary. This
yeah.
was, this, we're talking, you know, a mini-series, a feature made-for-television film.
Cool.
About The Beach Boys. And so... that ought to be pretty interesting. That's a new project that may well surface later this year.
Yeah, John married a beautiful woman too, didn't he?
Oh, she's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like
yeah.
I don't know if you saw the ad in People magazine, but it, you know, John and she were the poster kids for celebrity weddings.
Yes, I saw that, as a matter of fact.
Best looking couple you could possibly imagine.
Yeah, they are a perfect looking couple, aren't they?
Yeah.
But it's nice to know they have real lives and they're real people, too.
Well, she's really down to earth and quite fun, actually. Nice gal. And he, of course, he has to be nice because he likes the Beach Boys.
Who doesn't like the Beach Boys?
He likes coming out and playing and has for about 13 years now.
Just a reminder to folks out there that the Beach Boys' Endless Harmony is also available on a CD and also on video, home video, from Capitol Records home video. So if you want to go to your store and rent that out, you can do that and actually watch a pretty interesting... Were you happy with that special?
I think it was done very nicely.
Yeah.
I think they did a great job.
You mentioned TV, and I'm glad you mentioned it, because a lot of bands and a lot of singers and stuff, they cross over. They do movies, they do TV... Has that ever been, you know, something that you folks were interested in?
Well, I don't know. You know, we've mostly been occupied doing music, you know, both in the studio and primarily, actually, on tour and in person, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think any of us have really... Well, Dennis did a movie with James Taylor, I think, once called Tulane Blacktop. You know, like, was not a hit movie, but, you know, he was fascinated by the movie business.
So yeah.
None of the rest of us, I don't think, really had any, you know, big desire to have makeup on our faces at 6 a.m., you know?
Yeah, I think that the thing, though, that has happened in the industry is that, you know, in the 60s, you did your music, and that was it. Nowadays, when you do music, you need a video with it, so you do get involved theatrically on a peripheral basis.
Yeah, that's true. It's an audiovisual world these days. That's
yeah.
Absolutely true. And we do, of course, we've been forced to think in those terms a little bit, but not as much as some. You know, I saw that a TV show the other day where they had the like a dozen of the most expensive videos. I think Michael Jackson spent about $7 million on a video or something.
On Thriller, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, I guess.
Yeah, it was one of those that he spent a ton of money. I mean, they're spending, I guess from what I understand, record companies are spending on really, you know, groups like a Beach Boys, a high group, they're spending $1 million a video right now.
Yeah, they can do that. Well.
And I guess that it translates into sales or they wouldn't do it, you know?
Yeah, well, I think some of them go overboard and they're never going to make the money back. But.
So can we expect in the next couple of years, Mike, a fresh Beach Boys album of new songs?
Yes. And also a symphonic album. I want to do an album where we do quite a number of our songs. with the symphony orchestra and tour with, you know, during the summer with the where the local symphonies hang out, like the Pops type symphony.
Mm.
That would be pretty neat. Go over to Tanglewood, you know, and hang out for a weekend and do, and then move on to somewhere else. And you know, that's a way that we have not performed live with the symphony. We've done it a couple of times, and that's about it. And it sounds beautiful. And it's a different way of displaying your.
I bet you that Keith Lockhart would be quite happy to do that.
Yeah, well, I hope so. I mean, we're looking at doing it, and so that with a new studio album, we'll keep busy.
I want to thank Mike Love. Thank you so much for sharing so much time with us today. I had a wonderful time talking to you, and I hope we do it again one day.
Well, next time when we're in the area, we'll call up.
Okay.
See if you got some time.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Mike Love from the Beach Boys, legend. We'll be back after this.